Welcome to the SearchITChannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending August 15th, 2008. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor.
Barb Darrow, Senior News Editor.
And Newswriter Colin Steele.
Today we've got some great segments for you. We'll be talking about Sun's falling profits and what's in store for their partners, as well as AT&T's move into the cloud. So Colin, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on at Sun?
Sun came out with their quarterly earnings report, and their quarterly profits were down 73% from the same quarter last year. And they said that in the quarter that we're currently in, they don't expect to make a profit at all. So I thought it would be a good idea to check with the partners who do business with Sun. And there was a pretty wide range of reactions. Some said that their Sun business is still strong, and they feel like the more cuts that Sun makes, the more opportunity it is for them to come in and fill the gaps. Some were kind of concerned, so their customers were concerned as well and asking about it. One partner that we even talked to said that he was shifting more of his business over towards some of Sun's competitors like HP and IBM because of the concern about Sun's long-term viability.
Just the week before this broke, maybe 2 weeks, Sun announced a new partner program, opening up more and more of its accounts to partners for 100% fulfillment through partners, which was viewed as good news. But even at that time, some of the partners said, look, there's a reason behind this that they're probably not talking about yet. And the risk to Sun for this deal, for this channel move, is that a big portion of Sun's partners also rep HP or IBM. So the threat to Sun there is that if a partner is brought into an account by Sun,
and they might take the business elsewhere.
Right, exactly.
Right. And the partners that we talked to said it has something to do with these finances, and it's not as a direct result of this, but they knew that they were going to have to start relying on the channel more because obviously what they're doing themselves hasn't been working that great.
And it's very expensive to field a direct sales force.
And now joining us is Rivka Little, Senior News Writer. Thanks for joining us, Rivka.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. So why don't you tell us a little bit about AT&T's move into the cloud?
So AT&T announced last week that it would become a provider of cloud computing, or what they're calling utility computing. And they are focusing it, obviously, toward the enterprise.
Rivka, how does AT&T moving into the hosted services market, I hate cloud, how does that this move different from a typical communications provider vendor moving into it?
Well, this actually poses sort of a bigger threat in some ways than other companies, because not only does AT&T already have data centers or hosting centers all over the world and all throughout its network, but it actually has its own network that other people who are providing hosted services are sometimes renting space or time from their network. So architecturally, they're in a really, really good position. That being said, it doesn't mean that they're in a great position as far as their business model. So there's still some questions around how that's going to work.
Although AT&T, more than a company like, say, Microsoft, is used to kind of the annuity kind of subscription model, because they tend to get paid, you know, on a rolling basis, right, Rivka?
Right. And also their partners are accustomed to that also. I mean, you know, their partners, although they mostly go through direct channels for their telecom services, they do have partners, and those guys are accustomed to bringing it in as an ongoing service and, you know, having a payment plan. The thing is that AT&T has not released or in any way given any details about how it will compensate these partners. And that's a little bit concerning, because I think that the problem here is that most of the companies that are getting into this, other than Microsoft, have not really been clear about how they will compensate their people. So AT&T sort of still falls into that little hole of, we're going to have partners, but we don't know exactly how we'll compensate them. There's one other thing to note, though, which is that AT&T and many other telecom providers got into application hosting in the 90s. And they called themselves ASPs, and they were largely unsuccessful.
That ended very badly for most of them.
Yes, it did. I mean, it's just funny, because the acronym ASP just disappeared. It just went away.
And which is a good thing. Because the fewer acronyms, the better.
Well, yes, definitely. But, you know, there was a while there where you could not pick up a magazine and not see the hubbub about the new ASP. Actually, someone from Cisco, Chris Thompson, said to me, you know, the problem was that they were not integrators. And so even though they had these really enticing applications, they did not have the business structure or the integration know-how to really make it work in the enterprise.
And so I guess the big question is the cloud the new ASP?
Right. Well, will we know the word cloud in 10 years from now?
I hope not.
Great. Thanks, Rivka.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rivka. Before we go, wanted to let everybody know what we have in store for next week. We're going to talk about how VARs and MSPs and other solution providers use Web 2.0 technologies like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all that good stuff to promote their business.
And Friendster.
You can find the links to the stories we discussed below on the page. To download this podcast and other past ones, check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom,
Barb Darrow,
and Colin Steele.
And thanks for joining us.